Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Man, when Delilah saw he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. And she made him sleep on her knee. And she called a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. I'm going to let that hang there for a bit. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. This is the word of God for the people of God. The word of God is already blessed. Do me a favor. A smile on your face. Joy in your heart. A smile that says, "God has been good to me." A smile that says, "He's been better to me than I deserve." A smile that says, "My tomorrow is going to be even better than my yesterday." Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. So glad you made it to church." This morning's sermon is dealing with excess baggage. Okay, look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. You know what it is. Now with a smile on your face, joy in your heart, laughter in your soul. Neighbor, good morning. Good to see you. So glad you made the church. This morning's sermon is dealing with excess baggage. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God, dealing with excess baggage. You see, this is why we have the excess baggage on stage right now. We want to learn how to deal with excess baggage. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. These your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. Lord, prepare us to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Dealing with excess baggage. I have been in ministry now for 19 years. Been in ministry for 19 years. Been pastoring now almost 5 of those 19 years. But one thing is certain. Over the time I've had in ministry, I've had the opportunity to counsel many couples. I've had the opportunity to counsel many couples going through struggles in their relationships. I have seen friends get in serious relationships and then call me to express the troubles that they are going through. The truth of the matter is every relationship has some form of struggle. The problem is some folk don't know how to get through the struggle. And one thing that I can say is true, that I've seen seemingly good relationships that have everything seemingly going for it fall apart and end in disaster because of excess baggage. Here it is. When my wife and I, when we fly Southwest. We fly Southwest because you know in Southwest you can bring 2 bags. right? You fly southwest, you can bring two bags. Somebody say, hey, amen. That's how you roll. You can bring two. Now difference is you fly Delta, you fly United, that's a different price because you gotta pay for your bags. Here's the problem though. With Southwest, you can bring two bags. One day we were in the airport, and this man clearly did not know the rules of Southwest, and he felt like he was going to bring his whole house with him on the plane. And so this brother tried to get in front of us with all of these bags. When he got to the counter, the lady said, well, sir, you can check too, but the rest of them, you got to pay for it. If you're going to bring those with you, it's going to cost you something. Ooh, that's good. Because the truth of the matter is sometimes we come into a relationship and we want to bring all of our stuff, and it costs us something. Watch this. Here is why there's an extra fee on your excess baggage. Because planes have weight restrictions. Mm-hmm. And if you bring too much stuff, and she brings too much stuff, and everybody else starts bringing all of their stuff, watch this. The plane will be weighed down. And when the plane is weighed down, it's going to require more gas to get to its destination. But because of the extra weight and excess baggage, it doesn't have enough gas to get to its destination. And whenever a plane doesn't have enough gas to get to its destination, the planes risk crashing. Can I tell you that maybe some of your past relationships have been like a plane carrying way too much weight? Your excess baggage and their excess baggage, you wonder why it crashed? Because you had too much stuff coming into the relationship. Excess baggage has a possibility of ruining seemingly good relationships. Our text this morning, brothers and sisters, is going to show us how one of the relationship goals we must have is to deal with excess baggage. Before you can bring all of yourself to a relationship, you've got to address your excess baggage. Here we are in the book of Judges. The book of Judges was really describing a period between God's rule through Moses and Joshua and God's rule through anointed kings like David. It's the in-between period. It's the book of Judges. You see various judges show up in the book of Judges. Now, when they say judges, they're not meaning someone in a court system type of judge. They mean an administrator, sort of like a governor. And God would fill these people with spiritual powers to help them get through difficult times. These were judges that were anointed by God to lead the people. So this is what we find in the book of Judges, a story of a man named Samson. The first thing we learn from Samson's life, brothers and sisters, as we ask the question, how did he end up with Delilah and how did he end up grinding meal in a prison, is why is Samson in the situation he's in? Looking at Samson's story, the first thing we learn when it comes to dealing with excess baggage is, watch this, the problem of not knowing your value. The problem of not knowing your value. The story of Samson begins in Judges 13. Well, we learn that Israel has done evil in the sight of God and that they are under oppression of the Philistines. And a man named Manoah and his wife were living in a place called Zorah. And they were without child because his wife was barren. They are oppressed by the Philistines. They have been oppressed for many years by the Philistines. Manoah's wife is barren. And in their time, that would be living in oppression and experiencing oppression because she was barren. They were not living the blessed life. They were under oppression by the Philistines, and his wife was barren. Then the Bible tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to Manoah's wife. And here's what the angel said. Get ready. I'm paraphrasing here. This is the Marquez Ball translation. It said, the angel says to her, get ready. Things are about to turn around for you. You were barren, but you are about to be pregnant with possibility and promise. You are going to have a child, and your child is going to be a Nazarite to God, meaning set aside for a special purpose. He's going to be a Nazarite from the womb, and he will begin to save Israel from the hand of your Philistine oppressors. Y'all get that? That's Judges, chapter number 13. Before he is born, his barren mother has a vision from an angel that says, get ready, your whole life is about to turn around. You've been barren for a while. You've been struggling for years, but everything is about to turn around in your life. You're about to have a child. Watch this. And the child you have is going to be a Nazarite set aside to God for a special purpose from birth. This child of yours is going to save your people from the Philistine oppression. That's how Judges 13 describes the story. Before Samson was born, God said he was special. Before Samson was born, God said he has a purpose. Chapter 13 ends by saying he grew up and God blessed him. Then the problem comes in chapter 14. Chapter 14, it says that Samson left his own people and went down to Timnah. When in Timnah, he saw the daughters of the Philistines. Then he wanted to marry a daughter of the Philistines. His God-given purpose was to save Israel from the Philistine oppression. But Samson ends up going there and falling in love with the Philistine. Listen, my brother, listen, my sister. There is danger in not knowing your value. There is danger in not knowing your purpose. Pastor, what's the danger? You would think that the person oppressing you is doing it to help you. Ooh, that's so good. If you don't know who you are, you would think somebody that's oppressing you is doing it to make you better. Truth of the matter is that there are toxic relationships that persist because somebody doesn't know their value. There are toxic relationships that persist where somebody is being abused verbally or even physically because they don't know their value. And you begin to convince yourself that the toxic relationship is toxic because you've got to get better. You begin to convince yourself that the toxic relationship is actually helping you and not hurting you. When you don't know your value, when you don't know your self-worth, when you don't know your purpose, watch this, you will end up sleeping with the enemy and calling it fun. Samson finds himself in Philistine territory, not realizing that he is in bed with the enemy. Listen, if you don't know your value, you will find yourself surrounded by enemies and not even know it. Not only that, not only does not knowing your value cause you to think that your enemy is helping you instead of hurting you, when you don't know your value, you will settle for less than you deserve. You will settle for less than you deserve. Verse 3 of chapter 14 says he went to his mom and his dad and he said, listen, I've been down there with the Philistines and I saw a woman that I want and I want to marry her. His family tried to convince him, son, no, these are the people oppressing us. You deserve better than that. And here's what his response is in verse number 3. He says, she looks right in my eyes. Oh, that's so good. Y'all don't understand this. She looks right in my eyes. Your friends are saying, listen, that's not a good relationship. No, he looks right in my eyes. Listen, brother, this girl is misusing you. No, she looks right in my eyes. I don't think I deserve better. And because I don't think I deserve better, I'm willing to accept anything thrown my way. My brother, my sister, when you do not know your value, you will begin to accept less than you deserve. You will begin to settle in your relationship. Samson was willing to settle for the people who were oppressing him. Not only if you don't know your value will you settle for less than you deserve, you will also allow others to mistreat you. Problem of not knowing your value is you will allow others to mistreat you. Here's how Samson's story goes. He gets the Philistine wife. As he's married to her, she sides with the Philistines, his oppressors. And he tells her his secrets. Listen, When you don't know your value and you settle, you begin to reveal who you are to somebody that does not deserve to know who you are. They don't know how to handle who you are. Here's what she does. He's vulnerable with her. He tells her his innermost thoughts. Watch this. And then she goes back and tells the enemy. You don't know your value. You will often settle for somebody who doesn't value you and will actually work against you. She tells the enemy Samson's secret. Samson gets upset. Samson goes back to his mom and his dad's house to blow off a little steam. He's mad because I done revealed who I am to her, and she did not handle it well. She went and told my enemy my secret. He blew off a little steam. And then Samson went back to his marriage home. He goes in to his wife, his new wife. But when he goes in to his new wife, Samson got a problem because somebody else is in the bed with his new wife. Not just anybody. The text says his best man was in bed with his wife. My brother, my sister, listen to me. When you don't know your value, you will allow people close to you to mistreat you. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when you don't know who you are and whose you are, you will begin to settle for less than you deserve and allow others to mistreat you. When you don't know your value, you will settle for people who don't value you. You don't know your value, you will carry around the negative perceptions of other people. The truth of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, many of us are in relationships right now, carrying around what other people think about us, carrying around what other people have said about us, carrying around what other people have done to us, the negative actions of other people that have been thrown at you. You begin to carry them around as if they were your things to carry. You begin to walk around with other people's baggage and you begin to treat it like it's your own. Samson was born with purpose, but the text suggests he didn't know it. Bad thing that happens is you end up in a bad relationship because you don't know your purpose. Samson ended up in a bad relationship because he did not know his purpose, and the bad relationship became baggage for him that Samson carried around with him. Experiencing the bad relationship messed up Samson's view of relationships. Samson now has relationship baggage, and his baggage calls him to struggle, watch this, with intimacy. That's our second point. After you know the problem of not knowing your value, when you don't know your value, end up in a bad relationship, you begin to fear real intimacy. You begin to fear real intimacy. Let me say this now. When I say intimacy, I am not just talking about what you do in your bedroom. No, intimacy is more than that. Intimacy can be described this way. Into me, you see. Intimacy can be described as into me, you see. Real intimacy, watch this, makes us feel alive, like we have been found, as if someone finally took the time to peer into the depths of your soul and really see you there. That's into me, you see. After Samson experienced a bad relationship, he had struggles with real intimacy. Not only that, he had blowback. Oh, this is good. He had blowback from the breakup. Have you ever had a bad relationship that just would not seem to end? I mean, you done broke up with the person, but it keeps on finding you. I mean, you done left them a long time ago, but because your friends like them, they mad at you because you realize this person ain't right for me. I mean, you broke up with them, but every time you go out somewhere, you run into their cousin and their cousin. Have you ever had a bad relationship that just would not leave you alone? Samson had blowback from the breakup, and the Philistines always wanted to attack Samson. The Philistines always tried to mess with Samson. But then not only did he have blowback, it shows that Samson had intimacy issues. Watch this. After Samson experienced a bad relationship, Samson made up in his mind he was never going to go through that again. Because when you get to chapter number 16, it opens up and says that Samson is in Gaza, and he's paying the woman that he's with. Samson is in Gaza, and he's with a prostitute. That's how it opens up chapter number 16. Samson has gone through a bad relationship, and he finds himself with somebody that I never have to be vulnerable with again.
finds himself with a prostitute. Then, when you go a little further, he ends up with Delilah. And the text suggests that Delilah, too, was a prostitute. Samson went from one bad relationship to a prostitute after a prostitute because he struggled with intimacy. He struggled with letting go of his vulnerabilities because the last time he did that, it went bad for him. And he made up in his mind, I will never trust a woman like that again. This is why you see him talking to the Delilah, and Delilah is trying to find out his innermost thoughts, and Samson is willing to lie about it because he's not willing to be vulnerable again, because the last time he did that, he had baggage. So now, the baggage of his last relationship shows up into every other relationship he's in. Maybe there's somebody here right now. You've got struggles, not because of who you're dating, not because of who you're married to, but because of what the last person did, because of how they treated you. You're in a relationship now, but you want to see their phone every time it buzzes. You want to know who is texting them. You've got relationship issues. Every time she goes out with her friends, you want to sneak and follow them, because the last time the girl you were dating went out with her friends, she ended up with somebody. Every time you see somebody else talking to her, you're worried. Every time you see somebody else giving him a compliment, you're worried. Every time you see them like a picture on social media, you got concerns because the last relationship begins to impact this relationship. And if you bring all of this baggage into your current relationship, my brother, my sister, you're like an aircraft. It got way too much weight on it. You got a destination you want to go to, but the problem is you are weighed down by the mess of your last experiences, and the mess of your last experiences are hindering you from getting to your purpose. You got excess baggage. You got baggage issues. And watch this. The truth of the matter is, we all have some baggage. I don't mind accepting my baggage. I mean, sure, my daddy could have loved me more. Sure, my mama could have loved me a little bit more. Sure, I could have went to a better school. I got my own baggage issues, but Southwest, I can bring at least two of them. That's fine. The problem is, we try to bring all of this stuff into our relationships, and then when the person we're with can't handle all this stuff, we say something like, he wasn't a real man anyway. I'm trying to look for a real woman. No, they were real enough to say, I can't handle all, I can deal with you, but this is too much weight. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes marriages fail. Sometimes really good relationships don't go further because of baggage issues. I'm out of your way. We deal with this, my brothers and my sisters. Pastor Ball, I know. I got baggage issues. I ain't trying to hide from him. I knew it when I started dating him. I knew it when I said I do. I knew I had baggage issues. My problem is, Pastor Ball, I'm at the airport with all the bags, and my Uber has left. And now, I don't know what to do with these bags, because if I leave it, I can't give it to nobody else, because TSA says, no, don't take nobody else's bags. So Pastor Ball, I feel like I'm supposed to just keep all the bags. Pastor Ball, I feel like I can't let them go, because if I let them go, things are going to fall apart for me. And so therefore, because I've been used to carrying all of these bags, I will look at my flight leave without me, because I got too many bags. Here's the last thing that I'm out of your way, my brothers and my sisters. And that is, you've got to leave excess baggage. I don't care how you do it. You might go to the bathroom and leave it in the bathroom and just let TSA find it themselves. Leave. You didn't want to bring it anyway. You got to leave excess baggage. Stop running around saying things like, I just can't find somebody real enough to handle me. My brother, my sister, when you come to a relationship without all of this, you may find somebody willing to actually embrace you and to be intimate enough to get to know you, to begin to see you and not all the stuff that's blocking somebody from you. I'm done. A couple of ways that you can leave excess baggage, and then we're done. How can you leave excess baggage? Number one, my brother, my sister, you've got to leave your past in the past. You cannot change the hurt from the previous relationship. You cannot change the mistreatment from a previous relationship. You've got to leave the past in the past. Then you've got to accept that God has more in store for you. When you don't know your value, you would think God is meant to bless everybody but you. My brother, my sister, God has more in store for you. You are not here by accident. So you've got to accept that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, a purpose and a plan that's meant to bless
your life. So accept God's plan for you. Accept He has more for you. Then you've got to recognize your value. Recognize that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a story of a teacher came to her classroom, and this teacher held up $100 bills, crisp $100 bill. I mean, it's one of them new $100 bills. You know, it hadn't been balled up before. I mean, it just looked fake because it was just so new, and she held it up in the class, and she said, "How many of y'all want the $100 bill?" Everybody's head went up. I want it. She said, "Okay." Then she balled it up. "How many of y'all want a $100 bill?" Then she took it and she stepped on it and rubbed it in the ground. "How many of y'all want a $100 bill?" You were messing it up. The teacher had brought in the prop she had on her desk, some mud. She put the $100 bill in the mud. She let it get all messed in. Then she crumbled it up a little bit more. How many of y'all want a $100 bill? Too many hands put up because now it's a mess. Now it looks bad. Now it's difficult to work with. She said, "Maybe you like a $100 bill. You've had past experiences that have balled you up, that have thrown you on the ground and tried to rub you in the ground. You've had past experiences that have left mess all over you." My brother, my sister, hear me out. She said, "How many of y'all want a $100 bill?" Everybody's hands went up, and she says, "Y'all missing it. It's dirty, yes. Oh, it's been balled up, yes. It's been misused. It's been mistreated because I didn't know how to handle it. But I got a question for you. Did it lose its value?" Everybody said, "No, is it still worth $100? Listen, my brother, my sister, you may have had some past relationships that did not know how to handle you, that misused and abused you and left you feeling balled up and messed up. But God has sent me by to let you know that in God you have not lost your value. You still matter to God. And once you begin to know your value, you will treat yourself better and you'll begin to approach relationships differently." Today, when you got to make up your mind, the baggage of last year, the baggage of my last serious relationship, I'm not bringing forward with me. I'm not going to let it mess up my marriage. I'm not going to let it mess up my serious relationships and dating. I'm leaving the baggage. TSA can find it and do with it what they want. I didn't want it anyway. My brother, my sister, we didn't want relationship goals. Before you try to get to the perfect photo, get to the perfect you. Before you try to get to the perfect social media post, get to you. The way you do that is by getting rid of excess baggage that's weighing down your relationships. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand as we go before God in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. We recognize, Lord God, that you've created us to be in relationship. Lord God, when you created the world, after every creation, you said it was good. Created the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and you said it was good. You created vegetation and said it was good. Lord, you created day and night and said it was good. Then you did something special. You formed man from the dust of the ground and you breathed life into him and man became a living being. For the first time in scripture, you looked at your creation and said, "It's not good. It's not good for man to be alone." You created us to be in relationship. Lord God, we come before you admitting that sometimes we got baggage from previous relationships because we didn't know our own value, and we allowed others to mistreat us and to abuse us and to mess over us in relationships because we didn't value us. Then we began to carry the baggage from previous relationships. I pray right now, Lord God, for somebody who recognizes that they've had messed up relationships, not because the person they were with was so bad, but because the baggage they brought weighed down the relationship. I pray right now, Lord God, for somebody who needs to be set free from excess baggage. Somebody who needs
means to let go of the past mistakes, the past failures, the past hindrances, so that they can move into all that you have for them. For somebody who has been told that they're not cute enough, for somebody who's been told that they're not good enough, remind them, Lord God, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you've got a purpose and a plan for their life, that they are still valuable to you. Help us, Lord God, to have a relationship goal that says, I want to get rid of excess baggage so I can bring all of me to my relationships. This is indeed our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're standing, my brother, my sister, maybe there's somebody here right now. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've never made a confession of faith to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Here it is. Jesus Christ was our TSA agent. Jesus Christ saw that sin had become excess baggage for us. Sin had been blocking us from getting to God. And Jesus Christ became our TSA agent. God sent him to deal with the excess baggage of sin that had been separating us from God. Jesus Christ comes, my brother, my sister, to say, all of your past sins, all of your past failures, I've come to be your agent to remove that so that you can live free and be in right relationship with God. He did this by dying on Calvary's cross to pay the price for your excess baggage of sin. Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, but early on Sunday morning, he got up, all power in his hand, saying the price for their excess baggage had been paid so they might have right relationship with God. Maybe you've never accepted that Jesus Christ has paid the price for you to have a right relationship with God. Maybe you've never accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. Today, my brother, my sister, we invite you to do so. You can do so by praying a collective prayer. We pray this collective prayer to let you know you're not in this journey by yourself. Pray this collective prayer to let you know you've got a brother or sister on your left and on your right that's willing to lift you, that's willing to encourage you, that's willing to strengthen you, that's willing to really rejoice when God blesses you. So we want you to pray this collective prayer with us. Simply say these words, dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. But I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. Because of that, I am saved. I am saved. I am saved in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Somebody has made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and we thank God for that. That's you, my brother, my sister. You prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you've rededicated your life to Jesus Christ. You recognize that you were in relationship with him, but you had your past sins come back up again, and you fell out of relationship with the Lord, and you're saying, I want to recommit my life to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. You sense God leading you to work out your soul salvation here at Uplift Church. If that's you, my brother, my sister, you meet one of those three criteria, we invite you to come down and give me your hand and give God your heart. Is there one? Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that it would take root in our hearts. I pray, Lord God, that we will remember it throughout the week, and as excess baggage tries to creep up in our lives, we have the confidence and the courage to say, no, I'm better than that. No, I don't deserve that. And as the devil tries to devalue us, that you will continuously remind us that we are valuable to you. We love you. We praise you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise for his word. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence.